1037 the beat. Sorry, guys, we're having some technical difficulties. I currently have a special person interning with me today, which is my son. So just bear with us for a minute. But I am filling in for the lovely Gregory T. Roberts, as well as Melvin Burns II. And this is Community Focus. So before we get our first guest on today, I did want to let you guys know that we are still in the shutdown. And now it's looking that like some of the federal workers are going to experience some time where they're not getting their paychecks. And that's a very, very unfortunate. I really hope they work some things out soon. And it's for the best interests of everybody right now. At this point in time, we need more of a community perceptive instead of maybe divided tensions between two parties. And that's just my personal opinion. But without further ado, we're going to introduce our first guest. They're from Trinity Health. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So let me bring them on the screen. Hello.
Sure.
So yeah, we got some people learning here today. So
hey, it's all good. You know, this is the best way to learn is throw them right in the fire. I love it.
Yeah, that's exactly how he feels too. But can you guys introduce yourself today?
Sure. Yeah. Hi, I'm Katie Alfredson. I'm a nurse practitioner. I work at the Trinity Health Heart Failure Clinic. I've been here for 3 years. Prior to that, I was a nurse and, 7 years of nurse practitioner experience as primary care. And then prior to that, nursing experience, total of 15 years.
And I'm Blair Morrow, Director of Heart and Vascular, and I've been with Trinity Health for 38 years. Now, cool thing about Katie's and my relationship is when I took over the cath labs over at the hospital many years ago, Katie actually worked for me. And then she went back to school, got a nurse practitioner, and then I hired her back in the nurse in our heart failure clinic 3 years ago. And yeah, it's been the best hire I have ever done in my life. I'm going to tell you that right now. Blair. She is so amazing in this clinic, and the empathy and the compassion that she has for our patient population is a thing of beauty.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you, Blair.
Oh, I love that. The teamwork right there. That's a beautiful thing, y'all. But I did hear that you guys have received an achievement, and I would love for you to share that with our audience about what that achievement is and why it's so important to have.
You know, this is a really cool thing in our community, because when we get things like this, we have to showcase it, right? Mm-hmm. Because our community needs to understand the great things that happen in our organization at Trinity Health Muskegon. So this is actually the second year in a row that Trinity Health Muskegon has been one of the top healthcare organizations in the nation providing heart failure care. And that's a huge thing for our community, because in our community, we have a great deal of heart failure. Mm-hmm. And I contribute it to the low readmission rate for our heart failure clinic or for our heart failure patients because of the clinic, the great care that our two nurse practitioners give, Katie and Katina, that our MAs give, Crystal and Lindsay, our nurses give, Katie and Laura. You know, that teamwork that they have, and we have a pharmacist and a dietitian, but the teamwork that they give to the patients, you know, that is one reason, in my opinion, that our readmission rates are those with the big hospitals, you know, the big healthcare organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, and we see, and when you see that we're the same as Duke University, you know, when you hear Duke University and Trinity Health and Muskegon is at the same rank as Duke University, I'm sorry, we gotta go to the mountaintops and shout this.
It is a tremendous achievement. So Trinity Health Muskegon, we've been recognized in the top 22 hospital systems in the nation for having the lowest 30-day hospital readmission rate for patients with heart failure. So the average 30-day hospital readmission rate for patients with heart failure in the nation is 19.7%. Roughly 1 in 5 patients ends up back in the hospital after being discharged for heart failure within just 30 days. For Trinity Health Muskegon, we have achieved a 30-day readmission rate of just 16.6%, We're thrilled about mm-hmm. that accomplishment.
And like I said, a great deal is with this team here and our medical director, Dr. Schaefer. He is so engaged in the process of this patient. His expertise in heart failure is so top notch. But one thing that this team does is they keep an appointment open in case a patient has an emergency, has fluid overload, is being discharged from the hospital, needs to be seen the next day. They keep an appointment open every single day in case that happens. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the biggest contributors to Trinity Health Muskegon having that low readmission rate.
Okay. So you mentioned the fact that it's lower by the 16%. Besides having the open days for people to come in if they need the help, what else do you guys offer or do you think helps with keeping that rate down?
You know, I think for our clinic specifically, there's two things that stand out. One of them is accessibility that Blair spoke to. The other is our relationships with our patients. Oh, yeah. Our patients know our names. We know our patients' names. We focus on building these trusted relationships where they do feel comfortable and confident that when they call the office, we'll not only answer the phone, we'll address their needs. And being able to do that, it really has enabled us to keep patients out of the hospital, keeping them healthy. And then, you know, our nurses, they are able to adjust medications through those phone calls. And when things might be getting a little out of control, patients need a little more support than that. Like Blair said, we do have those same day visits that we are able to help address
the concerns.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is, you know, when I have the fortunate pleasure of watching these guys work, right? And the conversations that they have with patients, it's not a patient, it's a family member.
Yeah.
And that's how I perceive they're talking to my mom. They're talking to my dad, you know, and it's very warm. It brings joy to my heart listening to them. In fact, my mother, who passed away a couple years ago, but I'm from the UP originally. My mom was in the UP. I had them attend this clinic via virtually. And they took care of my mother for years, her heart failure, through this clinic virtually. That's how much faith and trust and love I have in these guys in giving the community what we need.
Okay. So when we're talking about heart failure, what are some of the things that you see from a lot of the patients as far as how they got there? I know some things can happen as far as birth or you can be born with it, but is there something else that contributes to that? And then what does it look like for this area that we're in as far as the percentages of who may have it, if that makes any sense?
Sure. That's mm-hmm. a great question. You know, there are a lot of things that we can prevent. We can address and take care of to prevent future episodes of heart failure. So things like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, treating diabetes, managing weight, smoking cessation, not using alcohol, or at least in moderation. Those types of things can help limit or reduce future risk of heart failure. Following up with primary care and making sure you're having those regular visits. I would encourage viewers to make sure they are having those regular follow-ups to make sure potential co-conditions are being addressed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. A major contributor is our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we preach it, we talk it, follow that healthy lifestyle. Now, can you go and have some alcohol or a good meal on occasion? Yeah, you have your cheat days. It's okay. But that's in moderation, you know. So we want people to really focus on their health, take care of themselves, mm-hmm. and that will help decrease the incidence of it occurring in our community.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically lifestyle. So we want to avoid lots of junk food, keeping up with fruits, vegetables, all the stuff that people probably don't feel like they enjoy. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But, you know, and it is, and I'll be the first one to admit, right? It's easy to eat out. Mm-hmm. It's easier to have someone else make you food instead of you making it yourself. And we're getting away, you know, I think that there's going to be a shift But we have gotten away from those family meals of sitting down together and eating meals and eating healthier, you know, instead of quickly going through your favorite fast food chain and getting processed foods, high sodium, high processed foods, and eating that as our meal, you know, and again, convenience. We live fast-paced lifestyles, and it's time for us to slow down and actually take care of ourselves and take care of our community.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. So when it comes to those foods, what I've tend to realize is that the less you indulge in those kind of foods, the more it seems like your appetite is less fierce for them. So I think it's a mind over matter thing. So they might think that they like this food, but if they start changing their diet, things start to taste differently. I know that's how it's been for me. So when it comes to people and their diets and you're trying to help them with the issues that they have with their heart, what is it like when you're trying to convince them like, hey, just stick with this for a little bit, and then I promise you it'll hopefully get better? How do you deal with patients that are like, no, I don't want to do that?
You know, that's a fun topic because that's so true. And I see it every day. First visit that I have with a patient here in the office, it's often after a hospitalization where they've had struggles with fluid overload, which that's the bad guy of heart failure. Sodium, that's what makes folks hold on to that fluid. And so a big topic of conversation during that first visit is addressing diet changes and addressing that sodium, reducing those processed foods, reducing the amount of sodium they're getting from their diet, whether it's added or naturally already in the food. And a concern is, hey, this food isn't going to taste good anymore. But what I found when patients do try to adhere to those diet changes, when they do taste something salty, it tastes disgusting. they no longer like it. They think, wow, I can't believe I ever ate that. And really, that's something that I encourage folks just to try it. Try it for a short time. Taste buds do change and adapt, and they probably won't want to go back.
You know, I don't do as much clinical work as I did in the past, but when I did, I had patients focus on one. What is one simple thing that you can implement right now? Not the 15,000 things that we try to implement and then we end up failing. Focus on one, succeed at that. And then when you're successful, add another. And then when you succeed at that, you add. And as you add, you gain momentum. And that momentum is a huge change in lifestyle shift.
Absolutely. I agree. So within the district, now is this achievement for Muskegon County itself, or is it just within the municipality? Where is this strictly for Trinity Health here is what I'm asking.
Yeah, Trinity Health Muskegon has achieved this goal or this award.
Okay, so when we're talking about Muskegon, what do you see as far as trends when it comes to these kind of patients? Is it above average? Is it below average? Where do we sit?
That's it. You know, that's a good question. Our social economic status in Muskegon is contributing to a higher heart failure. And then us baby boomers, we're now in that range, right? That we're having more heart failure in our age group than past. So there's a couple different types of stats, I guess I should say, right? Baby boomers, we're getting older. So we're contributing to the heart failure. And then the social economic status of Muskegon County is also a contributor to that. And so it's getting awareness out, having more education, having more discussions. And I think that the more that we can get back into the community, and you made a great statement, you know, prior to us starting, it's about our community. Let's get our community involved and say, okay, you know what, we can make Muskegon healthy. And I do feel Muskegon is getting healthier over the course of the last 10 years. I have seen it occur. Yeah. And I think we can contribute to this and we can continue this momentum going forward.
Nice. So let's switch hats a little bit. I know we've talked about you guys and what you did. Now Mauro, you said you had 38 years of dedicated experience in the cardiovascular.
Well, you had to throw that back out there, didn't you?
Tell us a little bit more about those 38 years.
When I started here, we were still in the hospital, but I started in the cardiac rehab program. I've been in heart and vascular my entire 38 years. So I started in the cardiac rehab, then we moved here to the heart center, we added pulmonary rehab, and then as time went on, in the early thousands, we had the heart failure clinic because it was such a need in our community. And then in the before the teens, I became director of heart and vascular, and now I have all heart and vascular and here at the Heart Center too, which is our cardiac pulmonary rehab program. And then I was over the heart failure clinic. I did give that to another group to oversee, but I still have my hands in it. It's like a dotted line to me. But I have had a blast with my career. I've done a lot of television shows. I've been able to get out in the community and do a lot of lectures to help people improve their lifestyle. I'm very passionate about this work. I'm very passionate about the work that we do throughout heart and vascular and how we can contribute more and more to the healthy lifestyles of our community. Before 2020, we did 5 years of what was called student heart screens, where we would test kids for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And that was a very successful program. We have not brought that back since the whole COVID issues that occurred and a lot of stuff was shut down. But we screened during that time, we screened over 5,000 high school students for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And, you know, most of the time, the first indication of that in a high school student is called sudden death, mm-hmm. right? And during that time, we found three individuals that had a high risk for HCM. So I know we saved at least three individuals at that time. It was worth it for me. I had a blast with that, too. I'm a people person, man. And anytime I can get out and talk to people and be around people, that's my wheelhouse.
Absolutely. That is so cool. I didn't even know that you guys were in the schools for a period of time or even looking into the students. So that's a great thing. And then the same for you, Katie.
Yeah.
I saw that you have 15 years of experience in nursing. That's quite a long time.
Yes. Yeah. So I started my career as a nurse working in the medical surgical floor at the hospital. I then spent some time in the emergency department working with Blair in the cath lab.
And then she knew to come back to me.
Yeah, I did.
It was in the emergency department where you guys met then?
In the cath labs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the cath lab, that's the cardiac cath lab, is where folks who are having a heart attack might go to get a stent placed in their heart. They treat other conditions there as well, but that's where Blair and I first connected. Then I became a nurse practitioner in 2015. I worked 7 years in the primary care setting, also working a little bit with community mental health, and also did a little bit with substance use disorder, but mostly primary care during that time. And then the last 3 years really found my niche here with the heart failure clinic. This truly is my passion. I love this population. It's so rewarding to see the change and positive impact that we can have mm-hmm. on our patients' lives, and have so many of them come back saying thank you and feeling better and seeing the positive impact that we're making every day. It's rewarding.
And I would say I probably have the most rewarding job of anybody because I get to see people while they're in the hospital and then see people when they come to our outpatient clinic and the progress that they've made and the healthy lifestyles that they have made in their changes that they have made in their life and how great they look after they've been in the clinic or my rehab programs, post bypass surgery, post MI, post structural heart procedure, whatever, you know, and that is what's very rewarding to me is seeing that before and then that after.
Yeah. You know, and I think it really does point to the teamwork across the board from inpatient to outpatient, Trinity Health working as a team, as a whole, to provide the best care possible to everyone that we see.
Yeah, we have a great care continuum team.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So speaking on the teamwork, when it comes to the experience that both of you guys have, how important was it to have that collaboration when it came to everybody being hands-on or being able to help out when it comes to dealing with the patients, when it comes to the way that the system was built within Muskegon. Like, how much do you think that really contributed to the success and the achievement that you guys have received?
So here at the center, I've always wanted to create a one-stop shop for our patients. So they don't have to go to multiple different areas. And basically, that's what we have here at this center. So a lot of our patients in our in my phase two cardiac rehab program are in our heart failure clinic, our diabetes education program, and our Coumadin clinic. And so creating that one-stop shop where we're all in one area has improved the health of many of the patients that are seen here, and we collaborate with that. So if a new patient comes in the heart failure clinic, Katie will say, you can benefit from the cardiac rehab program. And so she'll refer to the cardiac rehab program. We can get that patient in so they can get their physical activity or risk factor modification program. And if they have diabetes or if they need to learn to cook, then we begin with our dietitian, and our dietitian does everything. Jeanette Waite puts a cooking program together for every patient that comes in here where they can trial new foods that are cooked healthy, but they don't look healthy. They look like, oh my gosh, you know, this looks like good stuff. And they taste phenomenal. Right. And so she helps our patients learn how to cook appropriately. And then if they are on an anticoagulant and need Coumadin, then that's right here also. So creating that one stop shop has really benefited our community, especially our heart patients.
OK, so is there an age that you normally see coming into the clinic, or
you realize heart disease has no discrimination as far as age is concerned?
Yeah. So to narrow that down a little bit, though, you know, probably the average age is probably 70s and 80s, but we do see a lot of patients in their 50s, 40s, even 30s, and occasionally in their 20s. Risk increases with age, but we do see the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's the range is broad in. Mostly we can sit here and see the elderly, but when you mentioned the program that you were in before, when it dealt with finding three of the kids having the heart condition, mm-hmm. when it comes to the youth, is there anything that you guys do to help preventive measures for the kids in the community, or are there any programs that they have access to, like the cooking programs, where you try to make sure that implementation is key to prevent a lot of the stuff that's happening for the youth when they get
older? That I love that, because you know that the youth are our future, right? And so by really starting to focus on that age group, mm-hmm. hopefully we can decrease or diminish the incidence of heart disease occurring in our community. Mm-hmm. Do we have good programs? Not here, we don't. I think that there's some outreach programs within Trinity that do. I'm not tied into those. A long time ago, we had a Just for Kids program where we would go into the schools and teach healthy eating and healthy mm-hmm. lifestyle and the importance of physical activity. You know, and it would be great if we could get back into the schools and do that. One thing that I do to decompress every single day is I walk my dogs. A lot of times Katie see me walking my dogs, right? And one thing that I see that seriously, and this is me and me only, right? The electric bikes.
Yeah.
I see more people riding electric bikes. Now they're out getting activity. They're mm-hmm. being outside. I love that. However, they're using more the electric portion of it than the bike portion. Mm-hmm. And even I see a lot of younger individuals, I don't know their age, but they're younger, on scooters that are electric. You know, and it's like I would rather see families out on a real bike and an electric bike. And this is me and me only. I'm old, right? And I'm old school, or going on family walks and doing those types of things instead of the modern conveniences. And I feel a lot of the modern conveniences has caused a more incidence in the heart disease. You know, let's get back to good old fashioned physical activity, mm-hmm. you know, good old fashioned family meals. And I get it. We are a very busy society, and I mm-hmm. get it. You know, I was in the same boat when my kids were in high school, and I'm running from event to event to event. You know, it'll been a whole lot easier to pick up something fast.
Yeah.
You know, But we still made it a point to have those family meals, you know, because if I'm going to be in this position, I better help my kids too, right? And so, you know, that was one thing that my wife and I both work in the healthcare field, and those were things that we believed in, you know, the physical activity, eating healthy, drinking plenty of water, you know, we don't have the sodas in the house or anything like that. And so, you know, I think it helped my children. Again, it comes down to how people are in their own lifestyle. You know, I want to be a role model. I want to be a role model to my family. I want to be a role model to my community. And so I kind of have to, you know, walk the talk if I'm going to do it.
That's a really good point. You know, we talk about how prevention really is key. And a lot of times when folks do come in with heart failure, the focus is so much on lifestyle modification. But if kids are taught these healthy lifestyle choices from a young age, there's no modification that needs to take place later. And we can keep our population, our community healthier that way. You know, and Blair did mention, you know, we don't have any specific programs for children here, but we do encourage regular visits with primary care. You know, they are addressing those things. They're looking at weight management for these kids. How much TV are they watching in a day? Are they eating a healthy, balanced meal? These are things that primary care does.
And now it's not even it's called screen time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because your phone, your computer, your television.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Decreasing the screen time and increasing the activity time.
Absolutely, I agree. I know it's so easy to get caught up with something in this day and age, because something's always going off. Your attention's always everywhere. But sometimes unplugging has been some of the best time I've had personally, where I don't have to worry about the phone ringing. You know, everybody's where they need to be. And then, you know, we can all kind of unplug. And that's really nice to have at times.
And it relaxes your brain. You know, there's been studies that show that screen time, you know, your brain activity and the decreased amount of sleep, because people are on their phone right before they go to sleep. They can't fall asleep because the stimulation has been so intense that now they're decreasing their sleep that they need.
Yeah.
You know, so what you said there was perfect, you know, unplugging. And it's not that hard. Just put it away.
Yeah.
You know, and walk away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost feels like it's became the addiction of it. It's like, if more people, like with food, we were mentioning earlier, you have to break the habit first for it to not taste as it should. I mean, processed food does have a certain taste to it after you do develop your taste buds to different foods. But it's the same thing with screen time. You kind of let it go. It's not that bad. It's not the end of the world. But we're getting close to wrapping up. So is there anything that you would like for our audience to know when it comes to the achievement, or just when it comes to health and heart health itself?
As far as the achievement is concerned, like I said, I'm just so proud of, you know, the heart failure clinic, you know, from Dr. Schaefer to Katie, Katina, Lindsay, Crystal, Laura, Katie, you know, the wonderful work that they do, the compassionate care that they give to, and I'm just going to say it, to our family members, right? They're not patients, they're our family, and they do a wonderful job taking care of our family.
And I would just say too, you know, I'm just proud of Trinity Health as a whole, as a team. Trinity Health has worked together from inpatient to outpatient to make this happen. And then for people listening today, I would just encourage, you know, heart failure is preventable many times. And when heart failure does occur, it's often manageable. People live full and active lives oftentimes, even with heart failure. It's something we can help with.
Mm-hmm. And just let them know that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step.
Yeah.
That part, I love that you said that, because it takes you getting started for you to begin. Think about it all you want, but you actually got to do. So once again, thank you both for joining us today. I know I've learned a lot, and I know our audience has taken a lot away from this conversation. And congratulations on your achievement. That is something that is absolutely wonderful to hear, and I'm so happy it's happening in Muskegon within the community.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. So we're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll have our next guest on. Stay tuned. It's Community Focus. And welcome back to Community Focus. I have my second guest with us today. I'm going to let him introduce himself.
My name is Rob Mathis, and I am the founder of City Boy.
All right. City Boy Corp. That's how I know. I like how City it sounds. So I have you on today because you are a big part of the community and giving back. And that's all I know your foundation, your organization to be known for. So you want to tell more people about it?
Well, City Boy is an organization that we started to give back to the community, utilize resources that's already here in the community to support people that don't have the resources that you have. You know, food, we get food to give back to the community. We get donations of furniture to give it directly back to the community with no cost.
You know, that's free, y'all. That means free. That's absolutely cool. And then can you tell more people where you guys are located?
We're located at 318 Center Street, the heart of downtown North Muskegon at the Four Corners, 318 Center Street, suite number 8.
So give us a little bit of background about yourself and then how City Boy Corp came to fruition.
I was born and raised in Detroit. I came to Muskegon in the 11th grade. I did summer school at Muskegon High School. And then I went to Heights. I graduated in 1984.
Oh, so you went to both of them. You're a big red and a tiger.
Yeah. graduated from Muskegon Heights in 84 and went to the military. Got out the military, came back to Muskegon. And, you know, Muskegon is a good place, you know, growing up, you know, the struggle is real, you know, and I know how my lifestyle was, and I just want to do something for the community where there's not a lot of struggle.
I can understand that. And that's a great thing to do. So from you finding that, City Boy Corp came to be. And so, with it being here now, is it doing everything that you want to do, or are you trying to do even more than you are right now? Because I know you're an ambitious person.
So City Boy started off as just a call to the community for food when during the pandemic, when the schools closed. So growing up, I went to breakfast. I had lunch at school. And that's important to parents, so they could save that money. So we called to the community for food, and we had received donations where we made lunches for 3 months and went to different bus stops and dropped them off. We went to the homeless communities and dropped them off. And during that period of time, people would ask us different questions like, can you help me with this? So I reached out again to my friends on Facebook. And they were generous, and they gave me everything that I asked for. And all I did was just take their donation and turn it around and give it to the person that needed it. So I was a vessel that was used, you know, to you know, make things happen, positive things. So,
okay. And so with you keeping it going, are you good with where it's at now, or are you trying to build it into something bigger?
So the next phase of City Boy, what I'm trying to do is I need a school.
Okay.
So it's a lot of abandoned schools around Muskegon. And my plan is to get one of these schools, utilize the cafeteria for bingo and different events in the community. And another part of the school would be daycare. Affordable daycare, because, you know, parents trying to get out there and work, and the biggest part where mom and dad have to decide who's going to be home is the daycare. Okay, but with prices rising, both mom and dad need to be out in the fields, you know, to earn money, and we want to set up some type of affordable daycare that's going to help take care of the community, alleviate some of that burden. Okay, and then we're going to have City Boy on the other side, and our warehouse where we have the furniture and everything where people can just come in and get it and take it home with them right then and there.
That is such it's not just ambitious, but it's such a a nice thing to hear, especially during these times. With everything that's going on, there's a current government shutdown. There's a lot of tension between different political parties. Since this has started, as far as this new administration in office, have you seen an uptick in people who are really needing for more?
So our mobile pantry for the last 2 months, we have ran out of food, where I had to turn people away at the street. And that's kind of like disheartening, because I want to be able to help everybody. I'm utilizing all the resources that I have to, you know, ease the burden, you know, far as food insecurity that we're, you know, experiencing here because of high prices and stuff like that. But the need is rising, and every month there's more people that show up, and I just feel bad for them, you know, especially when I run out of food.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely see that. I've seen, a lot of the food pantries have especially been suffering on top of that, as you have Zinger mentioned, because of the funding. But now it's even to the point where it could get worse because of the shutdown.
Absolutely.
And this is just me asking, because it's just curious to know, but what, with the giving spirit that you have, when it comes to things like this, when the people that are dealing with it, what words of encouragement do you have for them who have to experience that because they don't have a choice?
Well, just know that, you know, City Boy will be there for you. You know, I mean, I would do everything in my power to try to change your situation, whether you need food, clothing, furniture. I could reach out to my resources and community and do absolute best to turn your situation around. Okay, so don't feel that no one's out there to help you, because City Boy is there, and City Boy cares about, I care about my community, and I want it to be better. And I want to create a legacy where it's about giving, then everybody want to take. You know, we set an example for our children. So I want to have a community that's a giving community, and children raised in an environment where they volunteer, and you can see the need in the community and be able to do something about it. That's the most important thing, to do something about the problem instead of pointing at the problem, saying, I wish that somebody would do something about it. I'm the person that's going to jump in and do something about it.
Gotcha. So you mentioned that there was a shortage with the food pantries. So is there anything that the organization does to keep stuff flowing in, as far as donations or certain things that people would need, as far as toiletries or clothes? What do you guys do to help keep that coming for the community that is in need of it?
Okay, so we have fundraisers, which is going to be the bingo that I utilize the revenue from bingo to purchase more food from Feeding America, and to purchase personal hygiene items for men and women, you know, just things to get by. And now I'm in the season to where, as we give out home, well, we do it all the time, but our homeless bags, which come with food, blankets, hats, gloves, personal hygiene items. And we have specific bags for men and women so that we're able to help everybody. Mm-hmm. So we utilize the revenue to do different things in the community. And we also have where at the end of my year, where we do the community picnic, where we use excess funds and purchase food, get the park. And we just have a day of love out there and just do something good for the community. Hamburgers, hot dogs. You know, we had a band last year, and it was just a good time, you know, just to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And again, we look for sponsors to help support that idea. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. So besides the fundraisers, I see you have a bingo night. Now, I'm not sure how long this has been going on, but I'm sure the everything from this bingo night is to help whatever people would need. And so you want to tell more of the audience of the bingo night, because I know there's some of you out there and you can act like you don't, but I know you do. They like to gamble a little bit, and you know, might as well do it for a good cause.
Absolutely. So I've been doing bingo for about 6 months now. We started off on Saturday nights at the Select Bingo Hall on Laketon. But this Saturday, tomorrow, is going to be our last Saturday night game, and we are moving to Monday. So the following Monday is going to be our first Monday evening bingo game. The doors open at 4:00, and I believe the first game starts at 6:00. And all the money used at this bingo game, the revenue is used to purchase more food to support my community, more personal hygiene items. I mean, I want to get to a position where even where, you know, the gas cars to do stuff like that, but it's just that I don't have the revenue. I don't have the sponsors. Mm-hmm. When I talk to organizations out in the community, they say, Rob, you're a gem out here because you do things that our organization doesn't do. Mm-hmm. And we refer our clients to you because there's no red tape, mm-hmm. you know, and it's already bad enough when you have to go to an organization asking for help, but you want to be able to walk away from, you know, that intact mm-hmm. spiritually, you mm-hmm. know, because it's draining to come to somebody and ask for help. And then they, you have to take this class. Mm-hmm. You got to talk to this counselor. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good if, you know, if you have that time. But some of these people that come in, they need the food right then and there. Mm-hmm. They need the help and support right then and there. And you come to City Boy, I'll have you in and out in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. If I got the resources there, I will give it to you, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So just a quick recap. This is Rob Mathis with City Boy Corp. And his organization gives to the needy. And that's clothes, furniture. I think you even have some appliances.
Yes, we do.
Whatever he can get his hands on that you may need, he is there. And it's for absolutely free. So you mentioned more about how you want to give back to the community. Has there been times within your time getting City Boy Corp together that you've received back from the community that you want to speak about as far as the give and the take? Because a lot of people can hear about the giving, but sometimes they don't hear some of the phenomenal people or some of the phenomenal things that the community will do to give back to people who appreciate that.
Well, there's a lot of unique people in our community, and they give, and a lot of them don't want to be recognized for their giving because they're giving from the heart and they don't want to take credit for it. Mm-hmm. And they use City Boy as a vessel to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And I got to say this one thing. I've been doing the food pantry for about 5 years and giving food back. Maybe about a month ago, a lady bought me a sandwich. You know, and she said, you give out so much food and help people here. I just want to buy you lunch because you be here working so hard. And, you know, we be out there in the rain, the snow. I mean, we're here and I don't get paid for this. I do this for the love of my community. And I want to get to a point where I can pass it back to the community. It's a community run, community led organization, and it's run by volunteers. So whatever your specialty is that you can bring to bear with City Boy that can improve City Boy and improve our community, I'm asking you to come to City Boy and bring that to our community.
Okay. So you mentioned the volunteers, but the volunteers that you have, and I'm sure there's some that's been long term. What do you appreciate the most about them and vice versa? Why do you feel like they keep coming back? How important is it for them to be there? You know, a lot of people don't understand the time and the effort that it takes to get those things off the ground and running, let alone keep it maintained. And then the significance of having people there to keep a store open or to be available to pick up the things. Like, how would you feel or what would it be if you didn't have those volunteers?
Wow. If I didn't have volunteers, City Boy would stumble and fall because the volunteers are the lifeblood of City Boy. And I have volunteers in the office. I'm able to be out in the community, pick up those donations and drop those donations off to needy families. So the office is open for the appointments. I set the appointments up so that my volunteers know who's coming, what they need, and get everything ready for them while I'm out in the field taking care of, you know, the heavy lifting and doing what I got to do to bring in more resources or talk to different sponsors about, you know, supporting City Boy's efforts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So back to the food pantry. A lot of people, I feel like there's a lot of people, and it's not to sit here and say this, everybody, they might feel like they're too ashamed to go to food pantry, or they're too prideful, or they feel like, oh, well, the food's not good enough and all this other stuff. I don't know if you've heard that before, but I have heard that. And in my opinion, if you need it, you need it. You should not care, and should nobody judge you, because you never know where you could be the next day. And so in knowing that, one, could you tell people the food that's offered and what they're able to get? And then two, what would you say to those people who have that stigma that's not necessary, especially when they really need the help?
Well, let me just say that if you need help, you need to come to City Boy. Okay. You are in a no judgment zone. The food that we give away is the same food that I'll eat. So if I'm eating it, you can trust it. Okay. And as far as your second question, the stigma about asking for help. I mean, if you need help, I mean, for my family, I'm going to do what's necessary for my family. If I got to go to a food pantry, I'm going. And you should just be a better man or a better woman and want to take care of your family and make sure that they have what they need to survive. And don't ever be without food or have a food insecurity when there's organizations that's out there that'll help you. Okay. We're out here for you. And just come. I mean, there's a lot of other organizations out there that's doing kind of the same work that I'm doing and giving away food, but just come get it. We getting it for you to give away. Yeah. And I don't like sending it back on the truck. And right now, you know, I run out of food, but it was times when, you know, I have like another 200 gallons of milk that's there and I got to send it back because, hey, nobody's here. And I'm just, you know, I only got so much space in my office. So.
Absolutely. So kind of piggybacking off of that, I believe some of the homeless population within Muskegon has risen. And with it rising, have you seen more people come in to access the food, the toiletries, or they're maybe looking for other places to go? Like, how do you help guide them or and then welcome them with open arms when it comes to that population that are really in need of the food? Or are there instances in where you've had to drop it off to different places or the encouragement of, you know, reach one, teach one? Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, as far as dropping food off to people, if we come across a family that for medical reasons cannot come to City Boy, I will personally go to their house and drop food off. I've been in Whitehall, been in Twin Lake, dropping food off to people that need it.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question.
That's all right. So the reach one, teach one, like when it comes to the people that you've helped out, have you seen people sometimes get on their feet and then they're like, hey, what can I do for you? How can I help you out?
Okay, yes. So we have people that come in that access the food pantry and the personal hygiene pantry. But once they get back on their feet and get a job, they come back and volunteer at the office, or they come out with me on my runs to go pick up the donations, and they want to give back because they, you know, if you guys would just access Google and Google City Boy and read the commentary on there, the comments where people come into the office, a lot of them come back and volunteer because they say it's such a good place, and we don't want your liver, we don't want anything from you but to see
not your firstborn blood or nothing like that, right?
You gotta go to class, nothing extra. Mm-hmm. We just want them, your situation to be better. So the Google reviews that we have are actual people that's come in our office and that we've helped. And I'm gonna tell you guys a story. When we first started City Boy, we had a lady come in from Every Woman's Place. Now, she's a transplant from a different state because of an abusive relationship. And she came in with three beautiful girls. I was out in the field picking up donations. The realtor down the hall called me and told me, Rob, you have got to come back here and help this family. So I came back to the office and I seen a lady. She told me what her situation was. We helped her with food, clothing. Every Woman's Place had got her a place to stay. We got her beds for her children. And it was during the holidays. So we took up collection and got the girls Christmas toys and helped the mom out. The mom through Michigan Works, working with them, they got her a job. She's still employed at that job. I check on her all the time to make sure she's all right. And she is doing great. And she tell me, man, if it hadn't been for you guys to uplift me and not to judge me about my situation to make my situation better, she didn't know what she was going to be able to do. And it's just a blessing to be, that type of organization that works hard for the community.
I love hearing stories like that. You don't hear enough of those these days. It's a lot of back and forth about stuff that doesn't matter. But when you're helping people, I feel like it's human beings were naturally created to do so. And it should be natural in nature to do so.
Absolutely.
Because it's really important to understand that a lot of people might feel a certain way at a certain time, but anything can happen to anybody. Yes. And the humility of that is showing that, you're always willing to give back when you can. And with that, so you have your bingo fundraiser. And then I heard that you celebrated Christmas early this year.
Yes, we did a toy drive Christmas in July. And we have gotten, believe us, over 500 toys. Last year when we did our Christmas drive, I ran out of toys. And, little kids was in there with grandma and they was crying. I said, I'm not going to allow that to happen this year. So I'm going to get ahead of it. So I learned from my mistakes, and we should have enough for everybody. And we should have signups for that going on next month. Okay. So if you aren't able to, get your kids something for Christmas, contact City Boy, get on the list and signups, and we'll make sure they have something under that tree.
Okay. So we're getting close to the end of the show. Is there anything that you want people to know? Anything that you want to share with the audience out there that you feel like is something you want to get off your chest when it comes to your organization and then the idea of being able to help? And then also any other things that you have coming up in the next couple of months when it comes to food pantries, fundraisers, even ways for them to contact you to volunteer.
Okay. So we have coming up our Bad Mom Prom. Now, don't let the name fool you. Bad Mom Prom is bad mom is you're the baddest mom at what you do. You take care of the kids. You keep that household together. You cook. You work. You do it all. You're like a super mom. Mm. You're the baddest at what you do. So you're a bad mom. And this prom is to celebrate you and what you do.
I love that. What they do. My daughter tells me. She said, clock it, mom. So there you go. I'm clocking it.
Okay. So We have Bad Mom Prom. We're going to have the Christmas giveaway. I have bingo is going to be every Monday night starting this coming up Monday. We have a food pantry once a month, and I already got on the list for next year. So it's going to be the second Friday of every month if everything goes through.
So you have, that's one today then?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So how can people access that food pantry today?
That food pantry, all you have to do is show up.
Show up
and you just fill out a little paper, and it's just pretty much for demographics. So I know how far City Boy reaching with the zip code. I don't care about your name. I'm looking at the zip code to see the area that, you know, we're servicing. Mm-hmm. So come to the food pantry. It's at, Community United Methodist Church on Rudderman Drive, 1614 Rudderman Drive. The food pantry is going to start at 4 o'clock. We should be distributing food, and we're going to do it until we have none left. So come, if nothing else, just come to see how the food pantry is, and you're able to volunteer, come out and volunteer and be, you know, a helping hand in your community. You know, come serve your community. See the people that's coming through this line that needs help. You know, give back to your community. It's where you live.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, we have reached the end of the show. So throw in your plug one more time, the contact information, where you guys are located at, and how people can, you know, volunteer and come out. You said it was the Bad Mom Proms coming up. There's the Christmas drive and the pantry also today. So go ahead and give them the information so they can go ahead and get in contact with you.
Okay. So our phone number is 231-375-0067. That's the office number. We have an office sale if I'm out in the field, 231-284-9932. The pantry, mobile pantry is going on right now. So get up there, get in line, and prepare to be served. I mean, let's give back to our community. If you want to volunteer other than the mobile pantry, again, reach out to me and fill out a volunteer application, and we'll get you on a schedule. Our address is 318 Center Street in North Muskegon. We're right at the Four Corners, across the street from Wesco, Bernio's, and the eatery right across the street, the gray building.
Okay. There you have it, everybody. That's Rob Mathis from City Boy Corp. I'm going to leave it with this. I don't know exactly how they say it, but my brother, Gregory T. Roberts, and also Melvin Burns II, they always say, go out and sow a seed because you never know who may need it. And with that, that is the end of our show. You guys have a wonderful day. Go check out some of the holiday things that they have as far as pumpkin carving, some costumes for the kids. Go out here and see if there's some trunk or treats out here or just some plain old holiday pumpkin patch fun, apple orchards, donuts, all that good stuff. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week.